Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
The second you take a stand and you speak words like, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," you need to understand that bows are bent in your direction. You make yourself a target. You take a stand, you're going to get hit.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Totally Wicked. I get some crazy emails from time to time. It came to me, it says, "Don't wash your hair in the shower." It's so good to finally get a healthy warning that is useful, involves the shampoo when it runs down your body when you're showering with it. Warning to us all, shampoo warning. I don't know why I didn't figure this out sooner. I use shampoo in the shower. When I wash my hair, the shampoo runs down my whole body, and printed very clearly on the shampoo label is this warning: for extra body and volume. No wonder I've been gaining weight. Well, I've gotten rid of that shampoo and I'm going to start showering with Dawn dish soap instead. Its label reads, "Dissolves fat that is otherwise difficult to remove." Problem solved. If I don't answer the phone, I'll be in the shower. So, nice healthy warnings there along the way. Turn to Psalm 10:4. It has taken some doing to even get here today. And I don't know what it's like for you. I can assure you there are people listening beyond here that make attempts at visiting a church, maybe going to a Bible study, going to some prayer thing at work, and you never seem to make it. And part of the reason you have such a struggle is that it is a battle. And I'm going to try to say what I'm going to say today, and I'm not even sure exactly how this is all going to come out, but I'm going to make a run at it. I think sometimes we wake up and we move into a world very naively and unaware, and it doesn't mean you have to live paranoid or afraid, and we'll get to those verses in a minute. But there has to be at least the awareness that there are pockets of people that are just basically totally wicked. There are people who get together for no other reason. The Proverbs talk about this. The Psalmist talking about this. Wickedness, if you look it up, just the word wicked comes up hundreds of times. Chapters, we'll read some of them today and point out these places and what the characteristics are. And some of this, you guys don't have to go very far because you used to be a part of that little huddle. Men, women, who just sat around and said, "Okay, what other jacked up thing can we come up to do to create problems, to create havoc?" You say, well, why would people just sit around just evil, just kind of wicked, dreaming up something they could do? Some people, for instance, go rob someone because they're hungry, and the Bible actually makes allowance for that. And there's a way to restore. If you were literally hungry trying to feed your family, you'd have to make restitution, but it allows for that kind of stealing in that category. But some people that do vandalism, kids, you say, well, they're just kids, they're just doing stupid things. If it was just kids, it'd be one thing. It's grown people. It's people who just get it in their head that somehow I am just going to mess with somebody. And all they do is sit around and dream up things like that to do. I got in traffic the other day and some guy came around me, kind of cut me off. And my instinct was to chase the person down and witness to them. So, right? But lately, I'm kind of getting this awareness and getting a check of some kind inside of me in my spirit where I'm like, you know what? Dude, let them go. You don't know who that person is. You don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what they're on. You don't know what they've done. You don't know how they don't value human life. And if you mess with them, they'll mess with you back. And they got weapons. They'll do crazy stuff. You say, well, then if that's what's going on out there, we ought to be afraid. still the truth is, if you are a Christian, now this is not true if you're not a Christian, and you say, well, then you're going to try to scare me. Absolutely. As a Christian, greater is he that is right here in me than whoever he is out there in the world. So I do not have to be afraid, but I do have to be respectful that there is evil, there is wickedness, total wickedness out there in this world. Now you say, well, I don't think this is going to be like a warm fuzzy, is it? Maybe not. Maybe not. You got kids? I have known for years that there are men out there who their only thought, and girls, my girls going off to college, different conversations we have, I'd sit down and explain it to them, say, girls, you need to understand something. There are guys who will show up on this campus and their sole intent is to maybe get an education, but to sleep with as many girls who they can take down as possible. It's just a game. They'll put stuff in your drinks, they'll do your Cokes, whatever, you know, they'll do whatever they gotta do to take you down because there are just wicked people. You say, no, those are just guys. Let me tell you something. If that is the intent of your heart, that is not godly intent. And if it's not godly intent, then where do you think it comes from? You say, well, I just have these crazy thoughts, want to go do things. Then ask yourself, are you getting that from Scripture? Because if it's not coming from Scripture and the Spirit of God, then it's coming from you and you're in trouble. And before you know it, you are this nice person, this nice, innocent young teenager, this little kid, and you got around some ungodly, wicked people, and you look up one day and go, how in the world did I get into this mess? This is not who I started out to be, but this is who I've become. And I'm sure I can get a witness on this somewhere in the room. Because we tend to be a magnet, some kind of bug light for these people. All right, let's read some verses. And I may read fast because we got a lot of ground to cover and I had to cull out and just get it down to these. Psalm 10:4. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. There are people who are not looking for God and they are not even thinking. In none of their thoughts does God enter their mind. They are doing whatever they want to do when they want to do it. And if you get in the way, they will take you out. And see, what you do if you wake up in the morning and you go to some job, you have to be aware that there's the possibility that there are some evil, wicked people that you work with. And this is not just that they had a bad, you know, breech birth or something and they're all messed up because of it. They may be doing things outside of the office. They may be involved in things. They just may be wicked people. And part of their reason for even being in the workplace is to take you out. You say, well, now you're some kind of conspiracy, spiritual thing that someone's out to get me. Someone is out to get you. Someone is after me. Someone is after my marriage, my wife, my children, my unborn grandchildren that don't even exist. There is a plan, steal, kill, destroy. There is a plan for your life. And you say, oh, well, no, I'm just kind of hanging out. I'm just chilling. I'm just going to go out with the bros. I'm just going to do a little this and that. I'm just going to smoke a little weed. I'm not hurting anybody. And before you know it, you're in a mess. And you had no idea how you got there. You do know how you get there. There is a plan. There is someone out to take you out. Now see, the second I go at this, I know I lose a ton of people. They go, wow, whatever, dude. Let me tell you something. You're whatever, dude. You'll be thinking about this when you land on your butt somewhere because you wouldn't listen. Because I got a room full of people, including me, who landed on their butt and it didn't work out by not listening. And now you are listening. And you've seen what the enemy can do to you and your family and your marriage and your children, and you have had enough. You've had enough. And it doesn't mean you don't go down anymore. It doesn't mean you don't sin, you don't stumble. But when you go down, you get back up and you say, I will not be damned. I will keep moving and I will fight for me and my marriage, my house, my kids, my friends, my church, whatever it is. I will pray. I will do whatever I gotta do. But the enemy is not gonna win. All right, so keep reading with me. Psalm 11, go to Psalm 11. Verse 1, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. The second you take a stand for Christ, now please, if I lose you after today, it's okay, but at least while you're here, listen. The second you take a stand and you speak words like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You need to understand that bows are bent in your direction. You make yourself a target. You take a stand, you're going to get hit. They are going to come after you. You say, well, then why would I take a stand? Because that's what you're instructed to do. That's what this is about. You don't run for cover indefinitely. You run for cover, you get covered, and then you run into the battle. And you're going to get hit. And it is not going to be fun all the time. But when the scripture talks about the gates of hell not prevailing against us, I keep saying this, it implies that we are marching on those gates and going in and taking people who have been taken captive and getting them out of there and explaining to them, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to die this way. There's hope. There's healing. There's restoration. There's life, not just existing. And you can have a piece of that. But if you take a stand, I love movies like Braveheart. I cry through movies like that. Because the soldiers, the real warriors in those movies, draw their sword and they are at the front of the battle, not on a white horse back up on a hill somewhere. Where if it turns and goes wrong, they can ride off quietly. You draw a sword, you go into battle, you can be taken out. But it is better to be taken out in the battle than running from a battle. So the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, his countenance beholds the upright. Psalm 28:3, the psalmist here says, do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. Now you need to listen really closely here. There are business leaders, religious leaders, political leaders, who all look nice, clean, fun, happy, smiles on their faces, and literally what it says here, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. You have got to walk and talk with God in such a way, have enough relationship with him, that you can discern between truth and lies. When you can discern and say, is this the Spirit of God or is it not the Spirit of God? You say, well, you're asking me to judge. I'm asking you to have some discernment and that you should walk with God long enough at some point where you can get in a room. I've shared this before. I get in circumstances sometimes and all of a sudden, if you've never experienced this or you don't know what it is when it happens, you need to pay attention. I will get around a certain person or in some situation and I am aware my Geiger counter goes through the roof. I have gotten with individuals, seemed normal, seemed fine, everything was okay. And all of a sudden the levels just escalate and I find myself praying as fast as I possibly can. If I don't have it on that day already, I am putting the helmet of salvation on. Breastplate of righteousness. Loins girded with truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, shield of faith, sword of the spirit. You get your armor on because it's battle right there. You say, what are you talking about? You may not know what I'm talking about because you go out there and you get rolled day after day after day because you don't know what you're up against. You go, I had this bad feeling. What do you think that is? The Holy Spirit has a nickname in America. And his name is Gut to believers. We call him Gut. I had this really bad gut feeling. If you've got God living in you, you're going to have some bad gut feelings. I took that girl to dinner and was about to sleep with her, and I had a really bad gut feeling about that because we're not married. You should have a bad gut feeling about that. And washing that bad feeling away with another glass of wine or some Jack Daniels ain't going to make it go away in the morning. Start listening to the Spirit of God if you're a believer who lives inside of you. And they say, well, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Somebody out there driving around listening to this message, what are you talking about? You better figure out what I'm talking about, because there's nothing at stake here but your life. Now, here's the weird kind of worst part of this for me. Lots of people are alive on the planet right now, and not everybody's going to heaven. I don't know what you think or where you got your theology. It isn't happening. People have been living and dying for millennia. And there's only one way to make heaven. And it is not your way unless your way is His way. And there are some people who are just straight up wicked. Now, if you are one of these people, there's a good chance you're not listening anymore as it is, or didn't turn this on in the first place. Why? Because none of your thoughts are toward God anyway. Now, if you say, I think I'm one of those wicked people you're talking about, because I just sit around trying to dream up crap to do just to mess people's lives up, and mine included, and I don't care. Let me tell you why there might be hope for you. Because there's a still small voice that is still small, but it is still the voice of God, and you still kind of hear it. And the book says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. So there are wicked people, there are evil people, and you can take a guy like Paul in the scriptures, for example. If you ask me, that's pretty wicked, chasing Christians around and killing them. So if there's hope for a guy like Paul, there's hope for anybody. But there is not hope beyond the grave unless you get hooked up with Jesus before you die. If you're thinking, well, he and I'll have a conversation later and we'll figure all this out, you won't figure anything out. It is appointed a man once to die, after that the judgment, it's too late. Psalm 37, 34. What's fascinating is you go back, and I'm reading you a few of these, if you go back and do a study on the word wicked and see what is mixed with it, here's an example of this, Psalm 37, 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. Now, and this is not intended to be, I mean, I know I see some cut to the chase thing. You think we're just trying to be mean or whatever. If you're looking for a sip and see church, this isn't it. If you're looking for Jesus on the rocks and have a little happy hour and, hey, how are you? Nice. How are you? Great. God bless you. You know, if that's what you're after, we'll take in. This thing is moving somewhere. And we assume that if you are born again, you are going to grow up. And we are here to help you grow up. And we don't mind you having problems. And if it takes you 15, 20, 30, 50 years to grow up, we're cool with that. But you've got to grow up. And part of growing up is understanding things like this, that this is not some kind of game. And you say, well, I just want to come to church. So when mom calls and says, did you go to church? I can tell her yes. Then you need to find some other church to go punch the clock at. Because you're not going to be happy here. Because this is not about just being religious or learning some interesting facts about Jesus and what his hair color might have been. You know, who cares about all that? Figure out what the scripture says. Decide whether you're going to apply it to your life and do it, and then get on with your life and get on with impacting other people's lives beyond just yours. Psalm 145, 20. If I had time to read you all of these, this is scary stuff. If you just go read the verses on what happens to the wicked, it's not good. And you say, well, but you're getting all too intense. Let me tell you something. I'm going to have to answer to God one day for why I wasn't more intense than I am. When he looks at me and says, what were you thinking? I gave you the whole book, all the instructions, the warnings. It's replete with warnings. And you got up there trying to talk people into coming and scratch their ears so they'd be comfortable so you could have your little deal. You're supposed to be warning people because this is real. And see, when you drop dead and you realize it's real, it's too late for me to warn you then. And beyond just us right here and whoever's listening beyond, you've got to get it because you're supposed to be part of the warning system. You say, well, how do you do that? You pull up to somebody that you love. I had a conversation in a very calm way with a kid yesterday, a teenage boy. Had an opportunity. His dad said, could you talk to him? It was a little awkward, but I had a moment and I talked to him. I didn't punch him in the nose. I didn't smack him with a Bible. But I put out some warnings to the kid. And why did I do that? Because I love his dad. I love this kid. It matters to me what happens to him. I can tell you, you don't give a rip about some people because you won't warn them. When you care about someone, you cannot sit by and let them destroy their life. You've got to get in the game. And when you are the person destroying your life and someone comes to you with tears and a broken heart and they come next to you humbly and they say, look, I got to talk to you. I can't do this anymore. I can't take it anymore. You're my friend. I pray for you. I love you. It matters to me what happens to you. You're killing yourself, dude. You're destroying the only life you're ever going to have. You got to do something different. And I'm not perfect. I haven't figured it all out, but I got some stuff that works. And you don't have what I've got, and you desperately need what I've got. And I am begging you, I am pleading with you, imploring, be reconciled to God. How many people you got coming to you like that? You want to change the world? Then have a broken heart for the world. And people respond to that. Because then they say, well, maybe somebody does give a damn. Maybe somebody does care about me. Maybe somebody does see what's happening to me, what's going on with me. And this doesn't work, but they care enough to at least warn me. And you say, now you may go, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. I get that. But I'm going on record that I love you enough to say something out loud. I am not going to sit here anymore and watch you destroy your life and do nothing. And if you want help, I'll help you. And you say, well, you've got friends, people you love. The people you love that are destroying their lives, you will find yourself in their face speaking the truth in love sooner or later, or none of it's true. Not to you, it's not. And see, if I get up and say stuff like this, I know I lose tons of people this way. But if I never speak to you again and you never come back here again and you never go to another church again, the last place you remember is that someone cried over your soul and begged you to think about it and to give God a chance to change your life.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
And our Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for showing up, God. I thank you that there is power in that name, in the name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name right now, Lord, I come against principalities and powers and the rulers of wickedness in high places that would come against the people that we love, some we know, some we don't know, and that we'd be made aware as never before that there is a real battle, there's a real enemy, and the mission in hell is still steal, kill, and destroy, and they are after us. And Father, if there's somebody listening here or beyond that doesn't know you today, and this is their day, that literally they'd be taken from darkness to light, from death to life, from the power of Satan to the power of God. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to do that now, and that someone would say, God, it is me. And I think I'm a good person, but there is evil, there is wickedness in me. And if I live without you and die without you, I will live eternity separated from you, from a real hell. I get that now, God. Thank you for opening my eyes, giving me even a thought of you, giving me the faith to believe. Thank you that Jesus died on that cross, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead, that he has the power over sin, grave, death, everything that I face. I accept the eternal life that he offers free, abundant life free, forgiveness of my sins free. I take it all. I thank you, God, and I ask you to move into my life, live in me, through me, show me what works, what doesn't work, how to live, where you want me to go, what you want me to do, what you want me to say, how to wage war,
and rescue the people around me who are still taken captive. We bless you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you. We praise you. We are so grateful that you are so merciful and long-suffering, and that there is hope where there is breath, and even beyond the grave when we know you. We love you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.